The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey everybody, this is Todd Parridge from New Hanover United Methodist Church in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, episode 71.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Anderson.
I'm Matthew McCabe.
We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
This episode is sponsored by ServeHQ. ServeHQ makes simple tools for ministry leaders to equip volunteers, onboard new members, develop leaders, send announcements, and chat with anyone safely and accountably, all in one unified platform. Go to servehq.church to find out more.
So, man, we are at it early today. We were killing it.
We were up and at them and really getting after. You texted me this morning. I was like, oh my goodness, he's there already. Let's go.
Well, the deal is it's Monday morning, and on Mondays, when possible, I like to drive in with my wife because she works at the elementary school just down the street from the church. And so when possible, which isn't very often, we like to
commute together, align
our commute. Yeah, and it gets me in really early, and on Mondays we're podcasting, so it's all good. You know, she wants me. This is the hard part, man. You got to help me out here.
Okay, I'll try.
She's after me to come into her classroom. She wants me to spend an entire day in her classroom.
So she wants you to be a volunteer in her classroom.
Yes.
Now, she teaches, what grade does she teach again?
She teaches kindergarten.
Oh, my
goodness. She has 27 kindergarten students all day long.
I can't help you out here, Steve. I would say run away.
I don't know what to do. I know that she will be blessed to have me see her in her world, you know, to see her in her environment, and she flourishes there. But, oh, my gosh, the demands on that?
Yeah.
It's just not my comfort zone, man.
You're being recruited to something that you're not really excited about, but you're going to do it because it's the right thing to do, and it will be a wonderful thing for your wife for you to do that.
I love my wife, but I'm going to be honest. It's a guilt-inducing thing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm being recruited by guilt. Is that okay?
Well, it happens. I mean, these years of high school, with my kids being in high school, I have been recruited and asked and badgered and pestered to do all kinds of things, from sell concessions at football games to chaperone after proms and to raise money for the PTA and to go to just PTA meetings. I mean, PTA meetings.
You went to PTA meetings?
Of course, I go every month because it's the right thing to do. But again, given the fact that in my day job, I spend a good deal of my day job serving others and serving the community, that then on a Tuesday night, what I want to do is watch a rerun of Seinfeld. I don't necessarily want to go to a PTA meeting and then get asked to sell concessions on Friday night at the basketball game when I'd like to be at home watching reruns of, I don't know, anything.
You're making me feel like such a schmuck. I don't think I've ever been to a PTA meeting. I don't even think I've ever been invited to a... Nobody will want me at a PTA meeting.
Steve Anderson, I was. I was.
No.
The PTA president.
No.
For 2 years at my kids' elementary school. This is a decade ago now. I was the PTA president. I filed paperwork. It was insane. So yes,
Matthew
you
McCabe,
can spend
Harper Valley PTA.
Yes, born for politics. I'm telling you.
Oh my word!
So all I'm saying, Steve, is I think you can spend a day in a kindergarten classroom.
I think you need therapy.
You're the same.
You're the same guy who volunteered to lead that basketball league.
I know you have lots of issues with the things that I volunteered to
do. Oh my gosh, that thing! Wow, that was a tough environment.
Yes, it was.
that was an act of true sacrifice.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're launching today, a 3-part series. I don't know. Have we ever done a 3-part series here on the Sherpas?
I think we have.
We have. Okay. All right. So we're launching a 3-part series on volunteers.
Yeah. Because this is such an important part of what youth ministry is all about. And it's a major, major time commitment and emphasis for any good youth pastor, youth worker. We have to find and equip and shepherd and train and lead a great team of volunteers.
So, yeah. So, three episodes. Today, we'll focus on finding volunteers, the recruitment process. Where and how do you find your volunteers?
And next episode, we'll be talking about how we shepherd them and pastor them well so that we can pour into them and love them.
Yeah, and then our last episode will be a difficult episode. It'll be, how do you fire a volunteer? How do you let one go or redirect a volunteer who needs a little pushing in a different direction?
Yes, this happens as well. So it's going to be fun. We'll have a good time with it. But before we get started, it's time for...
Sherpas.
Say what?
All right, what do you have?
All right, so recording here a few days before Valentine's Day. The episode will drop a week and a half after Valentine's Day. So I found an article here. There's a Texas zoo is allowing jilted Valentine's people to name a cockroach or a rat after their ex, and then they will feed that animal to a larger animal. The San Antonio Zoo Cry Me a Cockroach event allows visitors to the zoo website to pay $5 to name a cockroach after their ex or $25 to name a rat after their ex. The roaches will be fed to various animals. The rats will be fed to snakes. Feeding will be live streamed online so the purchasers can witness the demise of their named animal.
Wow.
What has this world come to that this is a thing?
Back in the day, it was just you put their picture on a dartboard, right, throw darts at it. Now you're feeding them to snakes.
I know. It's pretty terrible.
Wow.
That's harsh. I was a little overwhelmed reading that article. Like, okay, I remember being hurt, you know, back in the day from, you know, getting jumped or dropped or stood up or something. But I don't know that I'd ever, like, name them after a rat and then feed it to a snake. That just seems really extreme.
Hey, I guess there's something cathartic about it. I don't know.
It must be. Why would they run the event? Maybe they're raising money. I don't know.
Was it last week or a couple weeks ago? We had the one about the guy who wanted to have a duel with his ex with the samurai swords.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
This is a strange world we live in.
It is a strange world we live in.
Well, anyway.
Volunteers.
You love your team of volunteers?
I absolutely love the team of volunteers that we have in our student ministry. It's absolutely amazing.
I do too. You know, when I came to the church 20 years ago, there was a small team in place. There was just a fledgling youth ministry. We had a couple people who were kind of leading that as volunteers, and they stayed, which was great. One of them is actually still with me today.
That's awesome.
Which is amazing. But you know, the first thing that I had to do was start to recruit some help because I couldn't do it myself.
Sure. Why can't you do it yourself?
well.
You just can't. You just can't, right? Okay. I mean, this is a simple thing.
I don't have time. I don't have the talents. And I'm not insane. So, yeah, I couldn't do it myself.
Right.
So I went out and I recruited a couple right away and then added some people to the team. And, you know, it's continued to build over time. But I can't imagine, honestly, trying to do it myself.
No. I did it myself for a while. Well,
did you
know, I was at a smaller church when I first started, and so we had a smaller youth group, but also had a smaller pool of people to pull from.
Right.
And so there were years there where my wife and I pretty much were it. And you had a few parents that would help out now and again, but we didn't have a real team. We didn't have real, like, a youth leader team.
Right.
And what a dark, dark time. I look back on it and I think, you know, at the time, I mean, again, at the time I was in my early 20s.
You had energy and time.
You had energy and time, but I think about it now and I think that's terrible. And really, even from the student's perspective,
right,
what a beautiful thing to put some other people in their lives that can have significant influence. I always am drawn back to it.
Yeah.
It was a Fuller study that they did. And one of the findings in the study was that a middle school or high school student who has 3 to 4 caring adults involved in their lives who are not their parents,
right,
are 87% more likely to retain their faith beyond college.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely amazing. I've used it a lot with parenting, you know,
right,
talking to parents,
right,
about how important it is that, no, get your kids to youth group because this is, we have a system set up.
Right.
where we're providing those relationships for your kid.
Yeah. And when we don't do that, we're just the bottleneck of it. Because, yes. I mean, how many kids can you effectively really pastor?
Not as many as we think.
Well, yeah. We all think we're Superman and that it's all up to us. But the truth is, we're the bottleneck. And so we need people around us. And I know this is Youth Ministry 101, but it just begs saying again, let's get a team together. Let's get a multitude of people involved in Eliza students. The more we can do that, the bigger the ministry will grow to be, the more successful it'll be in actually influencing the lives of the teenagers.
All right. Yeah, well, so there you have it. That's the why. It's pretty simple.
Pretty obvious.
Now, who? So who, right. who are we finding to fill this role that we call youth volunteer, youth leader, whatever you call it in your context?
Yeah. I started as a volunteer.
Yes,
I was 24, 25 years old, you know, newly married, all the time in the world, young and cool and hip.
That's right.
Really good at dodgeball.
Which is a prerequisite,
I could
obviously.
Destroy any kid in any game that involved running or throwing. And so I was like the prototype for youth volunteer at that point in my life, I think.
Don't you think that it's interesting that there is a prototype, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Isn't there sort of an ideal person that we all have in our heads for youth ministry?
Yeah, I think that would be the person who is probably young.
Young.
Cool. Whatever that,
hip.
However you define that.
Yep.
Active. Probably leaning towards the extroverted side,
sure.
I'd say.
Yep.
If they play the guitar, it's a bonus.
Oh, man, way bonus.
Athletic, maybe, or I don't know, just a magnetic personality type.
Sure. We all have that picture in our head.
Yeah.
And those people are people to have
Absolutely.
On your team. But I think over the years, one of the things I've realized is it's way bigger than that.
It is.
Yeah, and why is it way bigger than that, Steve?
You're just teeing it up for me today.
I am. Let's go.
Think about the variety of students in your ministry. You have every type of student. You've got the kid who spends all day playing video games. You've got the girl who's on the soccer team. You've got the theater kids, the band kids. You've got the really introverted ones, the extroverted ones. You've got the ones who are growing up in the church and know everything about God more than we do. And you got the kid who's never been to church before.
Right.
You've got kids from broken families and complete healthy families. You got every kind of kid.
So if you've got that diverse of a student population, why wouldn't you want a diverse staff?
Yeah. And that's a really beautiful thing when that can come to pass. Now, we realize we're talking to youth workers. You may be in a small church. Maybe you have a team of five.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a team of three,
right.
Or maybe it's just you. And so diversity may look different in every context,
sure.
Right? But the principle is the same. We need a variety of people involved in the lives of students, and it doesn't always look like the prototype.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the point here. The point is when we think about who are we going to recruit to fill out our youth staff, right? Our youth volunteers. We need to think bigger picture than sort of that prototype. We need to think about who are the older people? Who are the introverted people?
Yeah.
Who are the people? Again, think, these are the students I have. Who are the people that can reach these students, who can be an influence in their lives?
Yeah. Can I brag on my team for just a second?
You sure can.
You know, so granted, you know, been here 20 years, so the team has been gradually built. This didn't happen overnight. And people have come and gone, of course. But we have a base of people who have been with us for a while. I have a 65-year-old guy. I think he's about 65, and you know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the local director of our Youth for Christ, and he attends church here. And he volunteers every Wednesday night with our middle school kids.
Amazing.
And it's such a blessing. And he brought his wife into the ministry with him. She'd never really done youth ministry before, and she wanted to get involved. And she was like, I don't know, middle school? I mean, is that really my cup of tea? And how am I going to fit in here? She's not going to be, you know, throwing pie in the face of some eighth grade boy.
She's not amazing at dodgeball, I bet.
Maybe she is.
Maybe she is. Who knows?
Never seen her play. but she's amazing at sitting with the special needs kid on the sofa and keeping her company for the first 45 minutes of the night.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing at standing at the door and smiling and hugging the kids as they come in. She never imagined herself doing it.
Right.
That's just one example. That's like the upper end,
yeah.
Age-wise.
Yeah.
I've got a 20-year-old girl who graduated from our youth ministry. I think she's 20. I don't think she's turned 21 yet. She is like super big sister, and the kids just gravitate to her. They bring all their drama,
mm-hmm.
and she just takes it all in. She's so mature and sweet and just loves them back. And then I got everything in between.
Everything in between.
Yeah. I got the 35-year-old super cool guy who's a teacher and athletic. I've got a ton of former students who grew up in this ministry, some married, some single. I'm talking too much.
But no, you're good.
It's a beautiful thing. I have a mom and her daughter on your team.
On the team. Really?
That's yeah, now the cool. Daughter's 30 years old. Mom's in her 50s. But
That's still very, very cool.
Yes. And she thought 5 years ago, I can't do this. This is really out of my comfort zone. She's amazing.
When I walked into my church 15 years ago, they had on Sunday mornings, we only had one service at that time. It was a smaller church. And during the service, they had what they called the middle school class. So it's ostensibly a Sunday school class. Now, the middle school kids would be out in church for worship, and then when this message time came, then they would go off to a middle school class.
Okay.
It was being led by a man who was 83 years old.
Who's
known as, in the church, as Grandpa Chris. Mm. Everyone called him Grandpa Chris. And he was leading this middle school class. And when I first walked in, I was like, that seems a little different. But then I would sit in that class, and these kids would hang on every word. Because in my mind, I thought, he's 83. These middle school kids are going to be running roughshod over him. It's going to be like one of those scenes from a movie. You go into this class, and there's papers thrown, and people wrestling. They hung on every word. And
I bet he just crushed it at dodgeball, too.
Oh, no. We never played dodgeball when Grandpa Chris was in the room. But he led that for a while. Of course, we moved and changed to our different ministries. And eventually he said, hey, I'm going to kind of step out a little bit. But every year until he was 94 years old and passed away, he would come in every year to the middle school group on the Sunday before Christmas and read the Christmas story.
That's awesome.
You could hear a pin drop. The same story they've heard a million times, but this guy just commanded their attention. He would show pictures from World War II, and it was crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I've got former students that were in my ministry that are now just crushing it in the middle school group or the high school group, and everybody in between. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Like you, I inherited a few staff, right? When I came to the church, there were a few people on the team already, and some of them left because of the transition, and some stuck around. and there was one staffer that stuck around, and they've been around forever now, longer than I have been around.
Uh-huh.
And this is a staff person that I don't necessarily get along with very well. Not a staff person I probably would have recruited. But man, there are some kids in our ministry over the last 15 years that this staffer has been incredibly influential in their lives. And they gravitated toward the staff person. They love the staff person. And so for me, I think, okay, doesn't fit the prototype, not even personality-wise, somebody that like I'm drawn to.
Right.
But man, they have a key role in our ministry.
And so I think that's kind of the basic point of this whole part of this episode is that we need to be thinking about what the students need and the diversity of their needs, not about what we necessarily like or even maybe even get along with, although we want to get along and
Absolutely.
Shepherd people and have a unified team. But, you know, we might consider a volunteer that we would never maybe personally relate to because they're going to be beneficial to the overall ministry.
Yeah, to some of our students, absolutely.
Yeah, and we need to create that diverse look on our teams.
Yeah, so as you're thinking about who you recruit for your team, think diversity of age and gender and personality, and don't dismiss anyone.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
If your team all looks like you, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
and you're missing an entire swath of potential youth leaders that God wants to get involved.
All right. So we've talked about why you recruit a team. We've talked about who you look for. How do you do it? How do you actually go about recruiting a team?
This is probably something that every church has a system. Well, I shouldn't say that. Probably a lot of churches have no clue.
No clue.
So maybe some bigger churches have these very well diagrammed,
well-oiled machines.
Yeah. Ours is kind of just an ad hoc. We do some programmatic things, but for youth ministry, I'm a little more intentional.
And sure.
We're making a big ask.
Yeah.
We're making a big ask here. That's ask with a K.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, so there's a few things that I have kind of, I guess, systematized in my own recruitment process, just in my head. So one thing I do is I try to put myself in other contexts in the church on occasion. So I've actually found great youth leaders by serving at day camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was something years ago. I remember serving on the day camp team and ended up recruiting a couple people from that. Men's retreat, something like that, or maybe the church softball team or basketball team. I've recruited people that way. Just, you know, kind of get to know people outside the youth ministry area. You might run across some people that are helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Networking is huge, important. Kind of meet those people. Your current team is also a tool for that on the networking side, because everybody on your team knows a certain amount of people that you don't know in the church. And they run in different circles and they have different connections and they know what it takes.
Yeah.
They know what it takes to be a successful youth leader or a good youth volunteer. And so they would be some good people to tap. I know that I found some of my really good volunteers by asking my team, do you know anybody you think that would be really good on this team? And then they said, oh yeah, this person. And then I intentionally pursue a relationship with that person,
right,
and meet that person and run them through the paces. And then, oh yeah, no, I think they're right. And then they jump in the team and they're great.
Yeah.
So you got to definitely tap into what you already have to find some other people.
Do you have a philosophy of parents serving as youth leaders? It's probably a longer conversation, but let's just touch on it for a second.
Sure. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm for it.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't want a whole team of parents.
Right.
But I don't want a team devoid of parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything specific that you look for or any particular method that you employ to get them involved?
No, I think it's just more as you connect with parents, as you connect with them through, you know, their kids' middle school years and you first start meeting their family and getting them going, you find people who are passionate about it, right? So they're clearly invested.
Yeah.
Because they're getting their kid really involved. So then you've got one aspect that is going to make a good youth volunteer is somebody who's invested and somebody who has, you can see, has an ease of connecting with other students other than their own. So when they're dropping their kid off or picking their kid up, you see them talking with their kid's friends. So you think, oh no, this person's got some relational skills. And then I think you just tap someone on the shoulder and ask if they think about it. A lot of times it's parents are people who ask to volunteer.
Correct.
Right. And so you don't really have to go too far out of your way to find a few parents for your team because they'll come look at it. It's a little bit more of trying to weed out, why do you want to serve?
Yeah. And that's part of my process with someone who approaches me about volunteering at any stage, but especially in the parenting stage. I want to make sure that they are not just going to be here to watch their own kid.
Like, correct.
This is a big ministry. We're going to have you shepherd a bunch of kids, and I want you to care about all of our kids and be bought into the vision of what we're doing, not just be here to protect your kid from whatever dangers you perceive here in the youth ministry.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an upfront conversation definitely have.
We had a parent not that long ago that came and asked to serve in high school, and we started that vetting process, which is specifically with a parent, is about trying to find out what's your motivation, what's your desire. And it became pretty clear that parent was wanting to be there to kind of babysit their own kid and right. make sure they weren't influenced by the rough kids who come to youth group. And, and so we just had a
conversation. Were those the McCabe kids?
I think it was. I think they were. That's who they, I mean.
We don't want their, we don't want our son associating
with. Influenced with those kids. But it was a pretty easy conversation to say, well, okay, well, just to let you know that, you know, our policy is you will not be your child's small group leader.
Correct.
You will not be. And we're going to ask that in the 2 hours that you're here on a Sunday night, that you don't have a lot of interaction with your child because we're bringing you on to influence this group of children
right.
that your child is not in. And that person said, no, thank you. And so we said, no, okay. And I think that was a win for everybody.
Yeah.
I think everybody won because we were upfront about it. This is not what we're looking for.
It saved this you from episode 3 of this series.
Which is firing a volunteer. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so we set a high bar up front. We have a very direct conversation about this is a high relational, high investment, high reward ministry. So if you're committing this, we're hoping, first of all, that it's going to be multiple years. We're going to demand your heart and your soul. We're going to demand your blood in this, you know. But the rewards are amazing.
Of course. Absolutely.
So there's no better place to serve.
Yeah.
I have a running list that I keep because I'm always thinking about, I'm thinking about replenishing. It's kind of like building a farm system for a baseball team. Like you want to have people kind of in the pipeline that you know might be thinking about it maybe for a next year or when a season of life opens up a little bit
right.
for them.
Yep.
And so I kind of keep that running list.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had multiple conversations with people over the years. It's like, hey, I know it's not working out now, but let's keep this conversation going because the time is going to come when the season is right for you. And I'm taking a long-term view of this.
Sure.
I want to have leaders 10 years from now. And maybe I know some of those people today and they have young kids and can't do it.
Yep.
But 5 years from now, they're going to be great youth leaders.
Yep. I have had a similar list over the years. And another thing, and I know this is just, I don't want to like over-spiritualize this or be that person that does that, but I would pray over that list.
Uh-huh.
You make that list, here's some people I think would be good at this, and you pray about that because that is going to work on my heart for keeping that conversation going with that person, and I believe God's going to work on their heart to prepare them for when the season is right to jump in and be on the team.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about how to recruit volunteers. Is there a way you think is a bad way or the wrong way?
Well, I think the all call. I think the cattle call, let's put a paragraph in the bulletin or the program or have the announcement person say, hey, we need more people to work in the middle school group or in the high school group. I think that's really not a great plan overall.
Yeah,
I think it could unearth a gem or a good find, but I think it can also unearth some people that are going to do it out of obligation.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, they need more people in middle school. I guess I gotta step up. And again, that won't be good for the students, and it won't be good for that person long term.
Well, that creates a chaperone mentality versus leader mentality.
Right.
So we want to be casting vision for what the youth ministry is and the potential impact on a person's life, on a generation.
Yep.
So we talk about that. We want people to buy into that vision, who are excited, motivated, who they think they are called to this.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Absolutely. And I think that all call leads to people who are going to lead to episode 3, people you're going to have to let go or have difficult conversations with.
Probably so. So, give me your favorite volunteer success story. Maybe not the best volunteer necessarily, but just somebody that just surprised you and you've seen great things from.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of recently we had a student in our middle school group, and this student was, when you say that this student was on the introverted scale, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't even begin to describe it. This person was just very, 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 very quiet, very difficult to engage with, very difficult to get talking. A great kid, but just a real, real struggle. And as she kind of blossomed through 8th grade and into 9th grade, began to come out of that shell. And it was a lot because of leaders who were pouring into her, who were just showing her consistent love. That trust began to happen, and she began to, and she turned into this dynamite high school student that we had in our ministry.
Yeah.
And when she was a junior, she came and said, I really want to help out in the middle school ministry.
That's awesome.
And then wanted to go back and sort of pour into students the way that she was poured into. And again, even at that point, she had come out of her shell, but she did not fit the prototype of like, yeah, let's put you in student ministry. She absolutely crushed being a middle school small group leader for like 4 years. So her last 2 years of high school and her first 2 years in college, and the girls in the middle school group just hung on her like she was Mother Teresa. It was absolutely amazing. It was really cool to see.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I have one that's kind of similar to that. There was a girl in our youth ministry years ago, and she would never come. I could not get her to be involved. She was pretty introverted and shy, and I would reach out to her all the time. In fact, I remember, I think I told this story in a previous episode, we did this Bible reading challenge where if they read through the Bible in a year, they got dinner out on me.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the challenge, but didn't accept the dinner out.
Because
she just didn't want to
hang out with you.
No, I guess so. And so she was never really involved as a student through high school. I think she maybe went on one retreat. And she just, never got involved. She went off to college. She graduated from college, moved back into the area, and joined the youth staff as a leader.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's out of great. Nowhere. And her personality type is still pretty quiet. She has a ministry to certain students in our group that is absolutely beautiful. I know she has coffee with this one girl who stopped coming 2 years ago, declared herself to be an atheist. And Leah still takes this girl out regularly and meets with her and just encourages her and loves her. She drives out of her way. People listening won't know the geography of this, but she drives from where you live all the way to the other side of Frederick to pick a student up and bring her to youth group on Sunday night. It's like
a long way.
20 minutes out of her way to get this student who has really no family support to bring her.
Wow.
So I never would have said when she was in high school, oh, she's going to be the best youth leader. But she is.
That's a beautiful thing. Cool. Yeah.
So give them a chance.
Give
them
a chance. Yeah. Give them a chance. So there you go. Volunteers. Why we need them, who we're looking for, and a few ideas on how to go find them.
There's so many more.
We could talk forever. In fact, we'll talk next week. We'll kind of shift the conversation about, okay, now you have a team. You've got some people on your team.
Yeah.
How do you care for them? How do you pastor them? How do you shepherd them? How do you keep them encouraged and enthused and equipped? And there's so many things that we can unpack next week.
Yeah, and the long-term benefits of that is a healthy, dynamic, growing youth ministry, honestly, because we're not the bottleneck anymore.
No, we are not the ceiling.
All right, well, today's episode was sponsored by ServeHQ. ServeHQ makes simple tools for ministry leaders to equip volunteers, onboard new members, develop leaders, send announcements, and chat with anyone safely with accountability, all in one unified platform. Go to servehq.church to find out more. You'll be really glad you did, and this is a great tool for volunteers.
Absolutely. Yep. This is really focused on volunteers, so you should definitely go out to servehq.church and check it out. We will be back next week with episode 72, part 2, in our volunteer series. Until then,
Sherpas out.